There we go. Okay. Is everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
Launch. Okay. Well, here we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am covering for Ewan today because he is a lazy bum and just wanted to sleep. Actually, no, Ewan is under the weather. And so far be it from us to let the show not happen, even though he can't be here with us. So next week, I'm sure he'll be back, barring some sort of catastrophe. And no doubt the show will run much smoother. So I'm just going to run through my screen and we'll start right at the top. And that would be, oh, in the red shirt. Okay, so the one person that's not going to make it through the show alive today, Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jeff. I didn't even think about that when I put this red shirt on this morning. But I do want to make a policy statement right here so that mm-hmm. everyone knows that in spite of what circulated in the BTN Slack, I am not a grandfather. I have never been a grandfather, and I will not be a grandfather. So the reports of my grandfatherness are more than exaggerated.
And stick to that story, Chuck.
Yeah, well, that's true. But we will offer sincere congratulations to Chuck Watornos, who was the Chuck that became a grandfather. But Mueller seems to not be able to tell the difference between the two of us. So figure it out.
That's what happens when you have really thick beer goggles.
Yep.
Well, I mean, that, and I mean, we haven't seen the other Chuck in a while, so it's kind of... He was just thinking of you. He was like you were in his mind when he thought about that.
Well, I'd appreciate not being his mind when he thinks of me and grandfathers. That's no.
Oh, but Chuck, can you just imagine if someday there's a knock on your door, you open it up and there's a person standing there holding a baby and they say, okay, funny story. Let me start with, hi, Dad. And you're like, wait, what?
No, I will close the door.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, Patrice, how are you?
Yeah, doing good. It's already a good start to the show. I'm happy. I'm always happy when we have shows.
So am I. This is an awesome way to wrap up the beginning of a crazy new year already. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, Patrice, thank you for making the live stream part happen, because apparently in the continental United States, I am no longer allowed for whatever reason to connect to our streaming server. So I'm glad that you have my back. Cal, how are you today?
Yeah, good. Busy week. I'm a Max first week back, as I'm sure it's the same for everyone. And yeah, just cracking on with in a new lockdown in the UK. So lockdown number 3. So we're just trying to do everything we can to stay open. And busy week. So yeah, but we are still there, thankfully.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is everyone needs to break their Mac or their iPhone and then take it to Iman Max so that Cal has some work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sounds like it.
Yes, please.
All right. Everyone, you know what to do. Go drop someone's phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't ever do your own.
Right. Yeah. Always someone else's. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Make sure Absolutely. it has no cloth on it or Cal won't touch it.
Oh,
silicon cases only.
Yeah, Cal, you may want to listen to the sponsor's spot from the big show yesterday.
Okay. I'll have a listen.
Yeah, you have a new commitment. So you're welcome.
Oh.
Doc, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. It has been quite an amazing ride.
It has, and you are outside of the continental United States, so presumably you're safe right now.
Yeah, why? What's going on in the continental United States?
Nothing.
It was funny. I mean, somebody, right over the holidays, there was this post that circulated around the national media about a UFO in Hawaii. And they're like, oh, it's the aliens. And I was like, man, if aliens came and they saw what was popping right now, they'd be like, oh. It's basically translate, yo, man, we're getting the F out of here.
It would be gone. Nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Yeah. They have stuff way better than nukes. That's us anamorphizing them, saying that they got nukes, but they got way stuff better than nukes.
I would assume so. I mean, if they could get here, then they have better technology than nukes. Also,
how many parsecs did it take?
Less than 12.
Right, that's good. That math checks out.
Yep. Also, I assume if aliens had the technology to get here, they wouldn't come here because they would know better.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Doc sounds like he knows a lot about this. I like he's had personal conversations and discussions over this.
I'm pretty sure Jeff has.
Well, you know, I do live in Boulder. So.
And, okay. You know, I said this before, but I'll say it again. Happy birthday, Jeffrey.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. I had a really great birthday with awesome birthday cake.
Not that great.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of weird stuff going on around my birthday. So I just shut down social media for the day and went on a nice long hike.
Bruh, let me explain something to you that most people don't know. I'm the 12th of September. Iniki was on the 11th. Desert Storm started on the 11th. And this building got planes crashed to on the 11th. I've always had jacked up stuff happening on my birthday.
Yeah, well, Doc, what it comes down to is when we celebrate your birthday, we go big.
That's it. That's the plan.
Yeah. Hey, we do have news stories today, but that's thanks to Chuck and Cal, who actually went and found them for me, because the way this played out today was I rolled out of bed, checked, and found out that Ewan can't do the show today. So I hopped in and didn't have time to actually do any research. So everyone else did it for me. And the great thing is, it's going to make it look like I'm prepared. So thank you.
Yeah, but you've just said that, so you've kind of scuppered yourself.
Yeah. You prepared about as well as Ewan. So
yeah, okay. Well,
no worse.
I have never been more prepared for a show this year.
Ooh.
Wow.
How's that?
Wow.
All right.
Just wait till you get our bill, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You spell my name Ewen Rankin. Okay, so first up, Bloomberg has a report that Apple's self-driving electric car is still half a decade away, which sounds a lot longer than 5 years away. But anyhow, there you go. And this is by Mark Gurman. And Mark does have a good track record of getting legit insider info from Apple, or at least accurate info about Apple. And apparently, Apple's electric car project is still in the early stages. And they're still working on their whole driving system. And as I dig more into this, they don't even have a set interior and exterior design for the vehicle yet. So
yeah, it will be the interior will just be a white wall, white infinite wall.
Yes, and you'll be able to get the car in any color you want as long as it's white, and it will have chamfered edges.
Correct.
Does it come with CarPlay?
No.
Yeah.
I would certainly hope so. All right. So I'm looking at this and thinking, is this even a story? because we've been hearing Apple Car for years now. And we've heard it's coming in a few years, for several years now. And to me, this article distills down to Apple Car is coming in a few years.
Yeah, it's still coming. It's like the Apple TV.
I say yes. Okay, because what I mean, you do remember, like, if you're really launching a car that actually works, right, and has decent build quality, it will take you 10 to 15 years for the initial rollout. And then after that, the current trend is they recycle models every 5 years. Some of the more stately car manufacturers can now recycle a model in 3 years. And what I mean by that, for instance, on my E, it has the same body style for the last 5 years. But however, the new one is going to get a new body style. If you look at even like Tacoma pickup, standard issue, beat it up work pickup truck, it holds the body style for roughly 8 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. So it tells you really how long it takes them to get these kind of things done. When they make changes on an annual basis, they're normally incremental tweaks to the engine, performance tweaks that actually take, you need data from actual use in order to figure out what to tweak. And then what they do every year is get you a slightly better gas mileage, upgraded stereo, new material interior for creature comfort, but the body style relatively stays the same.
It's basically the spec bump in the car business.
Like yes,
CPU and RAM,
that's and SSD upgrades. People have like loose cannons over spec bumps in the Mac world, because you know your Mac is say on the high end $10,000, your car is nowadays crappy cars start at 30, and good cars up to 60, and you know trucks like you know the all American beater. I mean they're like $60,000 now, $40,000 for a basic Tacoma, and yet no one cares about that. You know, the 5-6 year thing that you're going to drive that does nothing but depreciate 20% the minute you roll it off the lot. And that's cool. But, you know, they spec bump the computer and don't move the price whatsoever. And it's murder. That's why it's so funny. So the sad part for Apple is getting into the car manufacturing business is going to get you even more headaches. The cool part is, I think it's probably about right. By the time we get that half a decade, it equals about 15 years total. We've been listening to this, and it's in play.
Yeah, the thing is, do we really believe Apple will actually manufacture it themselves? I don't think so.
No, Hyundai.
They're going to outsource it to someone. I just heard, Foxconn, that they're starting manufacturing electric car manufacturing. Wonder why.
And you know what else is funny? I don't think their first initial market might even be here. And that's what everybody wants, because, you know, we're like that. But when I was in China, they're little small cars that just do the get. There's a metric ton of them, and they're pretty amazing. I mean, they're weird amalgamations of various brands because they build all the parts. So for instance, at Foxconn factory, they have their own car, because they make all the parts for a whole bunch of other cars. And so they took the best of the best of the best and built this tiny little rip around the campus thing. Cause the campus that I went to holds roughly 500,000 folk. And in the city center is like a tiny little town, and the outskirts is like the dorm, and in the middle is all the manufacturing buildings and the big thing that holds the clay dust and the materials for making chips and all of that. And it was really cool. It was really cool to see the innovation of what they have and like how they skeet around, and then these autonomous like golf carts, but they're electric, but they just, you know, go from building to building, and you just jump in and it knows to slow down in the building, and you jump out, and then it sits there for a couple seconds and it takes off again. And like, it was really rad. So the stuff is there, bro. It just takes time.
Yeah. Didn't Apple acquire like a Chinese car sharing company or something? I seem to remember that.
I thought they invested in one.
Or that. I think
it was called like DMC or BMC. And it looked like an amalgamation of BMW or Mercedes tiny car. I mean, like the small 190s and stuff that we don't have here that you see in Japan, Europe, and China. Actually, you guys have 190s, right, Patrice? The small Mercedes, the tiny one?
Yes. Well, we used to. Not anymore. That was like 20 years ago.
Bad. I was like, I wish they had that in the U.S. Mm. It's really tiny, but it's bad. It's super cool.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I feel like if I were a fisherman and I used Apple Car as my bait, I would be just reeling in analysts and journalists constantly. Because all you have to do is say Apple Car and everybody, you know, just jumps onto it. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I get why this could be exciting, because I think anytime Apple is even rumored at looking at any particular industry, you know, that industry shakes a little bit and quakes a little bit. But it's at some point, it's like, this is, they're, somebody's crying wolf too often now. And I just skip over the Apple Car stories. They don't mean anything.
We know that they're working on it. But I mean, one, because of all the hires, two, because Tim Cook actually said so. I mean, they didn't say they're working on a car, but like they're working on car parts at least. They've confirmed that. That's not even a secret. I mean, there is even like official filings for their self-driving cars in I think California and a couple other places. Like, that's not a secret at all. And I mean, we can talk about that as long as we want. It's not very exciting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Tim said that. Yeah, Tim said at one point that that the best way to learn more about developing AI is to create a self-driving car. And so, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, could they build a car? Absolutely. Would it be exciting? I would say so. But then, I mean, it's 5 years away. And I mean, yes, they're making progress. I mean, at this point, I would guess that they're going to start thinking about manufacturing, which is probably why all those things are happening right now. They're reaching out. But I mean, 5 years is still a long time. Not in hardware terms, and definitely not in car manufacturing terms. But if it is like, I've even heard, like, I think 9to5Mac, which has usually pretty good sources too, I think they said like 2028 is probably more like it. So somewhere between 25 and 28, and maybe it's 30 ultimately, next 10 years maybe.
And that's fine. It's just,
yeah,
in a world that seems to be so instant gratification oriented, that is like centuries away. So, you know,
I bring it up.
Stop with the noise. Yeah.
I wonder what material the say to.
You know why? I mean, as you said, it is an interesting topic and everybody's jumping on it. It does excite people. Like, it's not that it's not working.
I wonder if the seats are made of cloth, because if they are, I can't fix it.
Oh. I also like Joe's advanced cooling system. Like, it should have one, right?
I would assume a fan. So.
Yeah, a fan for the batteries.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yes, our car is so silent that we decided to not have any fans in it, and it uses convection cooling, which means it's like a shark and it has to be in motion all the time. Otherwise, your Apple Car engine melts.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Okay, you heard it here first, yeah, folks. Exactly. Jeff Gamet has said no fans in the Apple Car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't wait for that to go viral. Yeah. All right.
In 5 years.
Somebody call Gurman right now.
Yeah. Let him know, because we've got it all figured out. Okay. Next up, from 9to5Mac, the new rumor is... the 12.9-inch iPad Pro gets a mini LED display in March. And it'll be a little bit thicker also.
That's surprising.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, new iPad Pro in March is no surprise to me at all, assuming it actually happens. We have, we're currently in the place where we have the... That awkward product lineup where lower end iPads are basically in line with the high end models, and we've seen this before with Apple, with product cycles. And so then the high-end model, when it gets its bump, then it makes that clear delineation between like the iPad Air and the iPad Pro. So yeah. March sounds about right for that.
Mini don't LED. Forget, I mean, the last update to the iPad Pro was kind of, I mean, it was kind of, they enabled a previously disabled GPU core, if I remember correctly, and they added LiDAR. That was the last quote-unquote upgrade to the iPad Pro. So nothing else changed. The CPU was exactly the same. Like everything else was exactly the same. They literally just did that. So yeah, I think it's time. Makes sense.
Yeah, the only questionable part about this is, why would they make it thicker? What's going to be the gain? Is it because of better camera system? Okay, cool. If is it because of battery life, doesn't really matter. The current one gets fantastic battery life. Mm-hmm. So what would be the point of making it thicker? Now, there is a rumor that says it gets an M-level chip, and that would make sense for heat distribution or whatever. But, mm-hmm. I mean, not that it matters. Not I mean, that it matters, but like every article made a point to be like thicker. I'm yeah, like,
but does it? I mean, what does thicker mean?
Yeah,
just keep in mind the current iPad Pro is the thinnest Apple device. It's literally like it sounds crazy, but it is the thinnest device Apple sells. And even if they make it like 0.1 millimeters thicker, it is thicker. Like,
that's
it,
true.
It could like virtually be the same and it's still thicker.
That's what surprised me about it, because it's very rare that Apple go the other way with thinness. It's normally an obsession to the point of making the machine less functional, in my experience anyway, especially from a repairability point of view.
Yeah, they've changed that.
To make it thinner, so it does surprise me that it's making a little bit in the past couple of years, but before that,
I think iPhones have done thicker. The thin, thick pattern before.
Yeah, and not to beat on anybody, but you know, Johnny Ive is no longer there, and he seemed to be the driver of thin, and you know, to as Cal said, to the point of starting to lose functionality, and I keep going back to that because I feel like we're seeing some basic design changes, prioritizations, I guess, that you know, it's not quite so much about the finish and the engineering process, and more about what can this device really do. Mm. And that I really applaud that approach. I mean, I don't want to go back to carrying around a 10-pound laptop, but on the other hand, you know, I could handle a couple ounces if it'll give me more battery life or do something that I can't do now.
A 10-pound laptop with like a 15-pound power brick.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. And we all did it, you know.
So. What does the dishwasher do?
All right. So with mini LED, and I'm a little bit out of the loop on some of the mini LED technology. Could that be where thickness would come in? Do you need to have a thicker display to do mini LED with the full touch support that we expect from an Apple product?
Possibly. No, yeah. I don't think anyone knows just yet. I'd imagine, if anything, that's probably what's going to be drive it to be, that's what's going to drive it to be thicker, just because I can't see them wanting to make it thicker for any other reason, because if nothing else is really going to change in it, I should think, other than the display, which will be the main change.
It could also be a slight design change that simply like needs like changes something that makes it, as I said, 0.1 millimeter thicker. Like, you never know.
Yeah, that's a real good
point. I said
point,
it happened Patrice. For the phones. It happened for the phones. Like, they changed the design, and because of the design change, it had to be slightly thicker.
All right. Well, to go along with this, there's a MacRumors report that the MacBook Air gets a mini LED display also, but that's not until 2022. So the iPad Pro gets it this year, and the MacBook Air gets it next year. And this report comes from DigiTimes, And here's the funny thing for me. People glom onto everything Ming-Chi Kuo says as gospel. And I think he has a not very good track record. And DigiTimes,
he has the worst track record, right?
Yeah, he has the worst. And DigiTimes long ago had a bad track record. excuse me. And oftentimes because they would have a right nugget of information, but misinterpret what it meant. Mm-hmm. And then that changed and they got pretty good. But their reputation for being the place that gets it wrong all the time never went away. So I see DigiTimes now, I'm more inclined to think, okay, they have a legit piece of information. They may not have the timing right, though.
I think that the thing with DigiTimes and Kuo is he gets the information from the supply chain. And that is oftentimes like it's just a small nugget of information completely out of context because like the supply chain doesn't see everything, whereas others get their information directly from people at Apple, and that's simply they have more of the big picture, and that's why they're more reliable. It's like simply like the reason is because it's from the supply chain, and yeah, they don't get told anything they don't need to know. So yeah, as for this rumor, I mean, well, it's kind of, I mean, you can argue about the order, is the iPad Pro gonna be first or a Mac, whatever. But if one gets that, then down the line, the others get it too. Might take a couple of years, but it usually happens. Like this is not a surprise. This is from the category of obvious, like.
Yes, and to add to the obviousness, had I been in the position where I had been able to do all the research for today's show before we actually started, I would have caught that the 16-inch MacBook Pro is supposed to get mini LED this year as well. So, yeah. So hearing a MacBook Air getting it in 2022 makes a lot more sense to me. Throw it on the iPad Pro this year, on the 16-inch MacBook Pro this year, and then follow up in 2022 with the lower cost MacBook Air.
Yeah,
really.
Also financially, makes sense. Like put it in the expensive devices first, and then move it down the line. And yep. I mean, the MacBook Air already has the M1.
That's how you get your R&D paid for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm thinking, well, crap, do I need to save up a lot of money? Because do I want to have a mini LED iPad Pro? And then is it time to get a silicon 16-inch MacBook Pro that has a mini LED display? And I mean, sometimes I lament the fact that I have only two kidneys to sell.
Yeah, but some of that I think just goes with the question of what are you doing with these devices? You know, what features do you need? You know, because they've all become so powerful that, you know, there's that part that's, for me, there's that part of the equation. There's also the part of the equation of how much of a difference is there between what I have now and what they offer. So if you're one of those people that has to have the latest, greatest thing, you know, fine, then you're going to spend a lot of money. I'm running an iPad Pro now that I think is the first gen iPad Pro. And, you know, it's doing fine. There are places I'm starting to see some things that I can't do, or it's not quite up to speed. And so now I'm really thinking about a new iPad Pro, but you know, I need to see what the new iPad Pro will do before I make that decision, or wait for this one to just flat out die, which it shows no signs of doing anytime soon.
Not even performance wise. So like I have the 2018 and like there's right now no reason to replace it.
It's not performance, but I feel like there's something, and maybe it's just because I know in the back of my head that it's 3 years old. You know what
I'm
I mean?
Having a bit of
like, I can't put my finger on what it is that's not right, but there's something that's not right, and I don't know what it is. And again, Dot Machine is primarily Illustrator for iPad, some note-taking apps, an app called ClickUp, which is like Trello for grown-ups, and YouTube. I mean, primarily that's it. You know what I mean? There's not a lot else going on there. But for some reason, Netflix occasionally. But for some reason, like, I guess just knowing in the back of my head that little sucker that came out is faster, it makes me subconsciously feel like my 2018 is slowing down.
I've got a 2015.
What is it, Chuck? Because you're better linguistically, so maybe you'll explain it better. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think there's the classic fear of missing out, Doc. But I also think that as your other devices get faster, I mean, I have a tendency to hang out at the top of the line of the MacBook Pro because that's my daily driver. And I really do use the power for the video editing and some of those things. And as those devices get faster, then everything else does seem comparatively slow or slower. And I think that may be part of it, that, you started out at a baseline and then everything else got faster, but this stayed here. I think that may be part of it. I know that is for me, but people say, well, what, why should I get an iPhone 12? How much faster is it? Well, I can't quantify how much faster it is, but I can tell you this, it feels much faster than if I pick up a 6S Plus.
Yes.
As
funny as when you say that is, I got this stock Mac Mini, which is going home today just so I can order a 16 gig for either longevity or resale purposes. Other than that, it never ran out of memory, so that's not the issue. And I got this basically August 2020, like $4,000 iMac. You know which machine I use the most? The little one. Why? Because it's faster. The only thing that this thing is quicker at is if in Final Cut, I'm using a procedural plugin where it needs the graphics card to do high level calculation, which I don't do too many of because for the most part, a lot of those are douchey, right? Some of them, like a particle animation or something weird like that. But for color correcting, basic transitions, basic title work, simple motion, which is just parallax scaling of, text and whatnot, this thing is faster. It renders faster. And I'm making for Vlogmas, I spit out 5 to 8 minute YouTube videos every day for 31 days. And I was killing those videos editing on this. It's crazy. And to be honest with you, a large portion, about 40% of them I did on my iPad with LumaFusion, did the XML swap and just brought it over here for titling. So color correction, everything was done on the iPad because it's faster. And it's weird because this guy, when it has to do a high level calculation rendering, the big daddy needs to come out. But I'm telling people right now, and they say, oh, should I get a new MacBook? No, buy 2 Mac Minis. And they're like, why 2? I'm like, you buy the 1 16 gig model as like your work machine and then buy the other smaller model as your streamer, so that you have dedicated streaming machine, don't install crap on there, but your streaming software. That's literally what I'm telling people to build, because that $1,900 is still $600 cheaper than that fully middle-loaded, 16-inch, and it will run freaking circles around it.
Doc, I'm curious, and I don't want to take us down too much of a rat hole here, but you don't have any
hole,
trouble
we've got
doing...
time.
Okay. Jeff says, please. When you're doing those procedural plugins, you're not saying they don't render, they just render a whole lot slower. And that's why you need the graphics card on the big machine.
Yeah.
So even if you have one of those occasionally, okay, so you might have to go and get a cup of coffee and let it do its thing, but it still happens.
Yeah, amazing. And the one where you're really saving, if most people do this wrong, but Ewan and I talked about this before. When you're like speed editor, the first thing you do is ingest and let the proxies happen. Okay. And the reason why you let the proxies happen is because your editing experience will be freaking gorgeous under proxy because it's so quick, right? You say, take a 2 gig file and you turn it into a 80 megabyte file for editing. right? And you edit. At the end, you switch and you render. So when I ingest, I have like, you know, normally like a 10-minute wait for it to generate those proxies. This little guy even generates proxies faster than the big one. And like, I used to be able to go like whip up a grilled cheese and tomato soup. And now I can barely get the whiskey chilled at the right temperature with a 12% cut. And by the time I come back, I'm like, oh, it's been sitting here waiting for me. I was over there swirling my little Glencairn around, getting the sip straight, you know, got to wait for the ice to temper so it doesn't crack, you know, like it's crazy fast. It's ridiculous. And the amount of people that just want to be mad at it or want to think that it sucks, keep doing that because you're wasting your life. It's the set that $700 is better than the headphones that you just bought. I would have saved that headphone money sure. and spent an extra $150 and bought a brand new Mac Mini to help run your life quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. Well, something I wanted to mention, and I had to look it up. The current, like the current selling iPad Pro, has a A12Z, so that is a 3-year CPU. Like they didn't even upgrade it last to the A13.
Then Patricia just made me think of one more thing that I completely forgot about. The experience isn't completely set, but there are certain applications that are fine with the mouse, mm-hmm. and you can run those apps on your Mini. Shut up. Man, come on. Like, I just to be a jerk, I tried running LumaFusion on my Mini. It does work, but it needs fingers. So it's, yeah, it's incredible, bro. It's incredible.
Now
we're back from the rat hole, Jeff.
No, it's all right. I'm just sitting here fantasizing about LumaFusion on one of the new M processors.
Yeah. You said about saving up, Jeff. I've already started saving up for my next MacBook. As soon as a 13-inch or a 14-inch comes out with 4 ports on it, I'm all over it.
It's been solved, brother. That issue has been solved, and it was never really an issue. It was mostly whining. But OWC dropped a 4-port Thunderbolt hub for $150. And what it does that's different is it actually separates that controller into the 2 separate controllers that it is. So for $150 right now, you can go get one of 2 brand new OWC Thunderbolt 4 hubs that also has USB 4 built on. And
good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Oh, you know what's going to be irritating? I just told this machine to upgrade security in Safari. Mm-hmm. I think it's installing Big Sir. I'm going to be
pissed. Oh, I know.
See, I should have done that while I was talking. Anyway, that's always been a bunch of malarkey and everybody's like whining over because you can chain easily, right? Yeah, on this iMac, I have probably 10, 7, 4, 3, 4. I have about 20 something USB slots on this thing because of the way I daisy chain my hubs. It's never been an issue, but OWC even fixed it because they're the first Thunderbolt, purely Thunderbolt dock. So I wouldn't wait if you can get work done because the resale value is going to be high enough that you would have eaten about $200 to get the 16M when it comes out in August. But between now and August, you can do a metric S ton of work.
Mm. No, the only reason or the only time when you might not want to do that is if you're really dragging around your MacBook all day and you cannot have a hub and you need all 4 Thunderbolt ports. Literally, that's the only time when you would ever do that. Otherwise, get one of the OWC ones. So the primary question
for you, Cal, is why do you need a notebook?
Because I have to take my machine between work and home.
Okay, so you can have a dock. Not coffee shop. I'm telling you, this is going to sound crazy. $699.
You're going to tell me to buy a Mini.
I'm telling you, bro. I'm not even trying to be funny. Because it's so small, and you're of the age, you still carry a backpack. Don't lie. And so I'm telling you, $699 Mac Mini and 2 monitors, and you're still cheaper than that notebook, and it will still run circles around a notebook just because of the thermal cooling.
What'd you do this to me, Doc?
I'm just telling
you. Spend loads of money.
People get stuck in this like, oh, this is not enough mindset, but that's not really true. And again, to be honest, If you go in 16-inch MacBook, $2,699, that's $1,400 minis, one in each location, properly synced, is still cheaper than a single 16-inch notebook that will not run as fast as those two independently.
And you probably don't need the power.
And you probably don't need them. Most people have set themselves in a Mac use case that doesn't freaking really exist.
So why don't we suggest to Joe in the chat room that he help Callum out and get a machine that can let him do more work at home. And then, you know, Joe gets the benefit. Cal gets the benefit. Yeah. Everybody wins.
If you guys want to buy this,
I think this is a brilliant idea.
Joe, I'll tell you this monopole, $8.
He's never buying me a Mac. He's not in charge anyway, so.
See, this is why Doc has such great upper body strength. You know, he's carrying a Luxolamp Mac Mini around as a portable.
I turned one of them into a desk lamp.
He knows what a Monopoly is. Patrice been to Hawaii.
Jeff, you're joking. I have seen someone carrying around. Actually, I've seen two people. I've seen someone literally just hand carrying a 27-inch iMac, and I've seen someone at a coffee shop with like a 27-inch iMac backpack.
Yep.
I haven't seen anyone with a backpack yet, but I have seen people in coffee shops with the big flat panel iMac that they drug in with them and set up on a table.
Yep.
You know, Costco sells this bag. It's like this. It looks like an iMac, the bag, right? It's basically a big square bag that comes up like this, and it's padded with the cooling stuff inside for bringing your meats and vegetables home. I see people bring their 27-inch iMacs to Starbucks in the big Costco cooler bag. And it's like,
bro. Yeah, that's what you got. That's what you got. But, you know, the stock says for $699, man, you can.
I'm telling you, bro, $699, that price point is so dumb. And so magic, and it's being slept on because it's so cheap. And it's funny because it had Apple made it $1,000, they probably would have sold more. They actually hit that point where people say sometimes when you make something too cheap, people don't believe in it. And I really believe that because I have this conversation with streamers every day, and they're like, well, I'm having problems with my stream and blah, blah, blah. What do you got? 2015 MacBooks, be quiet. It's going to cost you more to keep asking me questions than go to the Apple and buy a $699 Mac Mini today. My bill will be higher than replacing your machine, and stop whining about I can't afford a new machine. Because they can. I was like, you could sell that 15 right now for $450. And then come up with the other, you know, $250 in your gold. And it's funny. And everyone that's listened so far is like, holy goodness, I just didn't think it would be this good. And I go, it's amazing. And now all the YouTube guys, because all of the clicks about how good it is went away, now they're talking about absolute nonsense as to why Apple messed up. And the number one thing it comes down to is the lie about ports. We only ever had two SCSI ports, but we had SCSI chains a mile long and fought Terminators left and right.
Oh, yeah. There was never any problem with that.
SCSI voodoo. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Chuck looked like he just had some kind of feels from the way back. He's he got flushed for a second.
Oh, my God.
And I'm gonna be honest. I messed up the ports thing too. I was like, it took me a little while to realize that a hub is all you really need. I mean, if you ever even need it, a hub is all you need.
Yeah, a hub is all you need.
I'm literally using one port.
Doc, you beat me to it.
Yeah.
You know, the last time I replaced my Mac, where I was choosing to replace it, and it wasn't Apple saying, we're sorry that we have given you such a hard time with such a crappy Mac for so long, here, just have a brand new one. I bought a MacBook Pro, but I was seriously looking at getting a Mac Mini and upgrading my iPad Pro at the same time. And then my portable machine would be an iPad Pro. And the reason I ended up not doing it at the time and going with the MacBook Pro instead was because I was doing enough traveling where I was recording podcasts where I had to have multiple inputs at the same time, coupled with remote people on the show. And I was going to end up having to get so much junk to take with me to make an iPad Pro do that, that it just made more sense and turned out to be less expensive just to get a new MacBook Pro and a USB hub and let everyone plug a microphone into that and call it good. But now, the next time I replace my computer, I'll be back looking at, do I get a Mac Mini and use an iPad Pro as the portable device when I need to use something outside of my office. And with the way everything is now, there's a very high likelihood that my next new Mac will be a Mini and not a MacBook Pro.
Same.
Would you want to know a Mac Mini and a Rodecaster Pro? Because actually, you can take a Rodecaster Pro and your iPad Pro and be portable now, but yeah.
Yeah, well, at the time, Rodecaster Pro wasn't a thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's legit on portable. You can use an Anker battery to keep the juice flying. And yeah, it's actually quite the incredible process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be, if you're going for the iPad Pro, just a thought I've had, I would get a Mac Mini and a MacBook Air for the money. Get a baseline MacBook Air and a, say, a 16 gig Mac Mini. I think that would work really well. If you want to have the form factor of a MacBook and you need to have a MacBook, which is what I'd need if I'm out and about, that would be a great way to do it.
See, I love this problem. There are options. And it's not just here's the one thing and suck it up and figure out how to make it work.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, I got one more for you, brother, that I just kind of thought of. Mm-hmm. And let me see if I can get my NDI to work real quick. Have you heard of the Zoom Track P4?
No. Zoom Track. I'm Googling right now.
It's 199 bones. Is the P track stands for pod track. And let me
pod track P4 by Zoom.
Yeah. This is what you want to do in the modern world. Yeah.
This looks really awesome.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you the one application that tends to suck balls in M1 right now is freaking this Zoom, like not audio Zoom, but Zoom US, Zoomus. Freaking piece of crap. It took away my control tab.
All right. Instapaper.
I don't want to mess with it because we'll die right now.
Oh, Doc, I wish you hadn't shown this.
Hey, $199, dude. This is like not even two golf games for you.
Yeah. And I don't play golf, so what's my excuse?
Coffee.
You've been saving all that money, so now you can buy a Zoom thing.
Right.
Therapy. I don't know.
Yeah, my mountain lion therapy.
You can straight up run this Jane off of you can run this off of your phone, your iPad, four mics, XLRs. You can do Bluetooth if you want with that little adapter thingy. You can run USB-C directly out of your computers. And you have a four-channel portable studio with just disparate tracks. It's kind of the business. If you needed something a little bit more Rodecaster-y, they have the Zoom Track P8, which is more Rodecaster-y, but $100 cheaper. I was just about to pull the trigger on that, and Ecamm sent me my Rodecaster Pro for being a moderator and putting up with so much crap in Facebook.
That is really awesome of them.
Yeah, 100%. They're a very awesome company.
Yes, they are.
All the way back from Printopia, since you guys remember, like we would interview the two twins in the back corner slinging Printopia back in the day, and then eyeglasses, and then Skype call recorder, and then Ecamm Live. But Ecamm Live is now their number one product.
You know, I still use Printopia.
That's funny. Yep. They came up with that when they were in college.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It's been a lifesaver for it. It's what's allowed me to keep using my HP LaserJet 2600 all these years.
Dude, Chuck is transfixed. I got him.
Well, you are because I was trying to decide what this. I finally got down far enough to see that this records to an SD card, but it also you can use this as a USB interface, audio interface. Yeah.
So can you take this and do like the Rodecaster where you say get someone on a phone call and plug it into this, or on a Skype call and plug it into this?
Yeah. Patrice, just switch it away, but there's a little Bluetooth wireless connectivity thing that you can connect, and that would allow it to work. But when you're using it as your interface on your computer, it would just be like anything. Like I could press record on my Rodecaster Pro right now and get all of you guys because I have your mix minus properly set and whatnot. So yeah.
That's really cool. All right. Well,
probably you've properly got Chuck with it.
I know. Yeah, look at him.
You've done some damage, Doc. You've done some damage.
I'm sorry. I bought new studio monitors because of you. So there's that.
Payback is hell.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, on one hand, damn it, Doc. And on the other hand, thank you.
Yeah. I'm feeling the same way, Jeff.
You know, Jeff, I mean, Chuck now, because they have had their lunch handed to them by Rode over the last 2 years, and because of what you're doing with your show, maybe you should just reach out to them.
Yeah, can't hurt. Couldn't hurt.
They're out of Hapag.
Yeah. I give them credit because they've made them XLR mics.
Yeah.
And that's phenomenal. You know,
do you want to hear longevity? This guy came out in 2012. I use this sucker still every day. This thing is old as Methuselah, not quite.
Oh,
old
those style. Things are awesome.
It's still is that the four?
Yes.
Yep, I have one too, Doc.
Dude, this thing still jams, and I swear I bought this in 2012. I bought this because in 2011 Macworld. We met Tim, and Tim Chatton was running around with this rig where he had this and the SM58 and the thing on his neck and the little boom pole and the headphones. And he was a one-man show, right? And I was just laughing. I was like, Tim is so goofy, but that Zoom idea is brilliant. I went home and bought one, and it's been one of my – it never leaves my camera bag because you'll run into a situation where I just need to record something. And the other one where it's been coming handy – is I've gone to these conferences and I'm like, this guy is up here dropping knowledge. So I can just reach in the backpack and sit this on the floor and no one ever, they don't notice what it is. Cause at the time, nobody knew what it was. And I never got in trouble for recording these, you know, really epic conferences where people are dropping knowledge. So I used to just record everything. So I have recordings of the last Macworld speaks.
Nice.
I got in trouble once in an airport with that because they checked my bag and they thought it was some kind of taser or something. They're like, what is this? It looks evil, you know. And it's like, no, man, it's a recorder. You know, like, here, let me record something. No, you're not pointing that at me. Oh my God. So
my carbon fiber tripod, when I first got it, it triggered the TSA guys because they didn't know what it was. It was long and cylindrical. And it's carbon fiber, like the laser doesn't penetrate it. And they opened my bag and they were like mad tentative. I'm like, it's a tripod. They go, tripod for what? And I'm like, for a camera. Like, you just looked at 80 pieces of camera gear, you jack.
Yeah, what do you think it's for?
Oh my God. I was like,
I had that with a battery pack back when the battery packs came out. Like, the security guy was like, that looks like a bomb. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it does, but what's your point?
Yeah.
That's not a tripod. I'm just happy to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm assuming we all have awesome TSA stories about the tech gear we travel with. I'll share one coming back from CES, because a lot of companies would load me up with their products and say, here, take this so you can do review. And 1 year, the different companies that make internet connected or iPhone controlled sex toys, loaded me up with
iTunes.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like Oh My Bod, and so I've got these remote control dildos in my carry on bag, and I get to TSA, and they pull me aside after scanning the bag, and they start pulling stuff out. They're like, "What's this?" Well, I mean, they're holding in their hand this vibrator. And they're holding it up like this, and I'm like, you know, it's too late for them. So loudly I said, "Well, that's my vibrator." It was a wonderful day. TSA shuffled me on through. The guy looked as if he just found out he had eaten, I don't know, rats or something. It was awesome. I absolutely loved it.
I just texted Patrice, "What are you buying?" Because she's looking down at the phone doing something. So yeah. You should have seen the face. She popped up. She's like, "What?" You must have been. What? Are you buying yeah. shoes or tech? Come on, Patrice.
Neither. I had money for either. So.
So we have more stories, but we're actually getting close enough to time. I'm going to ask, do you guys want to talk about sweaty ears?
No,
not really.
Okay. Then,
it's just simple. Like, do they think it's because of the cold, or is it just because of people are sweating into their headphones? Like, I can see if you're inside and you walk outside and it's freezing, that might happen, but you live in a cold place. That's happened to every device you've ever owned for as long as you've owned it. Or is it sweat? Like, I didn't even read the article because it was creepy.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's I'm going to go with it's condensation and not sweat. And if your ears are sweating that much,
you have diaphoretic ears.
Maybe you should go see a doctor.
Yeah,
to be fair about it, I've had headphones where on a cross-country flight. Yeah, my ears will get hot, not sweating, but, you know, just hot. And you take them off for a few minutes, cool down, and then keep on going. So everybody wants this perfect seal around here, which means that your body heat is going to accumulate inside there. So maybe this shouldn't be a big surprise if you have the superior seal that you're going to have a little bit of that.
My Sony headphones do make my ears sweat just a tiny bit. It's not like it's going to generate droplets like what those guys got. But like I think like you said, it's just calling it hot and having enough common sense on the flight that after I finish a 2.5 hour movie, get up, take it off, walk to the bathroom, come back. They're good to go. Back on. Right. Boom, baby. Don't say the word because I always get stuck next to the baby. I do not know why. And yeah, that's just normal, bruh. I think people buy Apple products and look for something so that they can break the story, so that they can break the next gate. And it's not even the journalists anymore. It's the citizen journalry. That's not a word. Mm-hmm. I made it up.
Yeah, but
everybody wants to be the one to find the thing that takes Apple down. It's like I am hunting for that boss move. And it's irritating.
But I thought we had done that already with the case. So I don't know.
Is this the first phone with no real like noisy gate? Like
there was green gate. There was a green tint one? Issue. Yeah, green tint blue? Issue, green gate. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I like that. Do you have the time to listen? Sorry.
All right. So my big question is, Cal, if I bring in sweaty AirPods Max. Are you gonna fix that for me?
The cloth comes off.
There's cloth on them, so obviously not. I don't know how many times I have to say this.
Every single time.
If you've got cloth, you're not getting it fixed. Not a chance.
So, Kyle wants you to bring it in with no pants on.
Not a problem.
Well, that's why I'm in Jeff's works.
I'm in Jeff's.
That's right. Why that works.
That's right. You have something to bring in for repairs? Not a problem. Leave the pants at the door.
Yeah.
And Cal, yes, I do, or I am fully aware of the difference in the meaning of pants, depending on what side of the Atlantic you're on.
Oh, dear.
All I'm going to say about that is you'll know that I'm really happy you're going to be fixing whatever it is that's broken. Hey, perfect time to jump into the sponsors.
Good old tradition.
Thank you to TSO Hosts for being our sponsor today. And on every other show they sponsored, and after today, well, maybe thank you for having been our sponsor. No, oh, seriously, TSO Host is great. They're making sure that we have the space to host all these shows so that that we can come to you every week and bring you this quality content. And without them, we wouldn't be able to have these shows for you. So thank you to TSO Hosts for that. And what they're asking from all of us is that you just go on social media and give them a shout out. So do it. TSO Hosts, they're awesome. They're taking care of us. And thank you so much for being there to make sure that we have the space for all these shows for everyone. And also, I'm in Max, and I've never checked. Is it plural? I'm in Mac or I'm in Max? What is it, Cal? I've just always said I'm in Max.
We do more than one, so.
Okay, yeah, I've always said I'm in Max, and just assume that's what it is. So there we go. Okay, I've been saying it correctly all this time. Anything that you need fixed that has an Apple logo on it, unless it has fabric. Cal is your man. He will fix it. And they're awesome because instead of just like replacing an entire motherboard, if there's a single component that's failed, Cal will go in there and do their strategic replacement, surgical strike, and get that capacitor or whatever it is replaced for you. So you're back in business and you have an awesome machine without throwing a bunch of junk in the landfill. If it has fabric on it, though, good luck. Except, Cal, we did find out that the HomePod Mini, that fabric cover comes off very easily without you having to do any damage. It just kind of peels right off. So
I'll never be able to find that out because I'm not touching it.
It's okay. So everyone, what you need to do is send links to Cal showing him how to pop the rubber base off the bottom so you can just peel that fabric back, because otherwise he's not going to know about that and he won't be able to fix your HomePod Mini.
I've actually seen it. It does seem quite simple to do. The biggest issue with the original HomePod was, and where all this has come from, you had to cut the cloth to get into the original HomePod. But no, I need to keep the rhetoric up. No, I'll never, ever fix one, ever.
Well, hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Mm-hmm. How about if we can get Joe to buy Cal a laptop, an M1 laptop, then Cal will start to fix cloth-based HomePods.
What do you say, Joe?
He left the chat room, so nothing.
This will be out there. You can tell him. So let's have a write-in campaign to get Cal a laptop.
Yes. Let's do a campaign to get Cal a laptop.
I got the perfect tool for that. There's a tool that I just got, and I'm absolutely in love with it. I was thinking about making it my pick of the week, but I have better stuff to irritate you guys with. I've been using Patreon for a while, and Patreon's cool, but it can be a little slow, and then there's issues here and there. But I switched to Buy Me a Coffee, and Buy Me a Coffee is freaking dope, and I'll tell you why. It allows you to let people do one-offs, which Patreon doesn't do. Like, you can just be like, you know what? He just helped me unsolve a problem, so I'm going to send him $5 for a coffee. Boom, that's it. So it just goes into your thing. It immediately transfers to your PayPal, like, 2 hours later, or Stripe, if you have Stripe, which is dope, because then that means people can use their Apple Card. It allows you to do, I'm going to do a special Mac Voices on Zoom, and it's going to be like, I got Tim Cook in the building, I got room for 300 seats, you can buy a Zoom ticket, and that will send that person a password that works and gets them into your Zoom, right? So that, again, better than Patreon or whatever, and easy way to sell, it's like a Zoom ticket. You can sell an ebook. Like, these are, here's an electronic book that has audio transcriptions and snippets of the best conversations I've had in Mac Voices over the past 10 years. And you can just have it like a coffee table book, but you know, coffee table's in our pocket at this point. You can do very incredible things like that. And their fees are really small, and it's so simple and so easy because the person doesn't have to sign up. Whereas in Patreon, if you want to be a supporter, you have to create an account so that you can become a supporter, and it's just a headache. So I if you look at my Twitter feed and you look at people at mentioning me, there's a whole bunch of people at mentioning me because I did a membership thing. Or I'm charging folks $10 a month to come to this private Zoom call where I'm helping them out with their streaming stuff. And over like yesterday and today, I've sold 36 memberships, and then another 20 people that just says, I can't come to the class or whatever, but I like the value you're giving. I'm just going to send you $5, $15, $20, $100 for coffee.
That it is pretty awesome.
Brilliant. Brilliant. It's actually been out for a minute.
This is awesome. But,
oh, and if you're not a coffee drinker, you can change it to pizza. You can change it to socks. You can change it to proper cuppa. I mean, you can adjust it to whatever matches your kuleana.
Just quickly, while we're still just about talking about the sponsors, something that I'm going to start doing from next week, which may pique people's interest, it may not, on my Twitter, which I mentioned at the end of the show, something fell off, I am going to start doing a repair of the day. So whatever I fix that day, I'll pick whatever one I want to pick. Nice. Take some pictures of it, maybe a video, describe what I've done and put it up on Twitter if you want to get a grasp of what I do every day and the kind of varying stuff that goes on. Can
I do that on YouTube, even if it's as shorts?
I'll look into it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're like, you know, well, you can't say you don't like being on camera. You're on camera every week. But even if you did it as
a short, it's nothing like that. It's just,
I mean, with a 60-minute short, you can edit it in your phone with like LumaFusion or InShot or something. Just the longevity, the reach, and the searchability, which is key to the continuation of the business of I'm in Jeff's. That search, that SEO that you're going to get from doing YouTube videos, as opposed to just sticking it in Twitter, which is a running hellhole. It's much better. And there's a lot of people out there that are interested in vintage Macs. So I would take the YouTube video and post it on Twitter. But I think just the overall organic growth, the reach and all of that would do better either on Twitter or as Instagram stories.
Or I was going to do Instagram as well, I think.
Yeah. So it's just better. And then you just send that content to Twitter. Twitter is a good repeater. It's not a good source of like, this is the anchor to my content. And for the record, this is what I do all day, every day now. It's my new business and it's super fun. It's killing.
There you go.
That's awesome.
It's a huge possibility that before March, I will bridge 10,000 on YouTube. I'm averaging 1,000 1,000 a month now for something that I really got back into heavy, like just a year ago. Mm.
That's very awesome. Nice.
That is.
All right. Yeah. This is an awesome show for me because I'm just soaking up all Doc's knowledge today. Doc, you are the bomb.
Yeah, remember, you guys are just making fun of me. But I don't care. You guys make fun of me. I'm going to just keep watching my PayPal grow.
Oh, I'm not making fun of you. You're now my like my
hero is the word you're looking for.
Yes, you're my hero and role model.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool things. Chuck, do you have something?
I do. And Doc's going to like this, I think, because he already knows about it. I have a hate relationship with Skype. But Skype has, there are times that Skype is necessary. If you need to record something off of Skype, though, for crying out loud, don't use their built-in tools because they're terrible. Use Call Recorder from Ecamm Networks. I love this software. It has been broken so many times because Skype does these constant updates, and these guys just chase it like a dog, and they release updates regularly so that it's always, even if you have to upgrade it on the fly right then, all you have to do is download it, install it, boom, and it works. But the best part, as far as I'm concerned, is the new tools that they're not new now, but they updated a while back. But if Doc and I are recording a show, I can then get Doc's video. It records into an Ecamm file, and then I use a tool of theirs to export. I can export Doc. I can export me. I can export just our respective audios. I can export a side by side. They give you so many options, and this just is one of those things that if you are using Skype and recording anything, whether it's for podcasting, business, anything else, this is a tool you have to use because and they give you the full 1080p resolution that Skype is capable of, as opposed to the 1280 by 720 that Skype records at in itself, which just drives me out of my mind. You know, they've built the capability in, but they don't give it to you. So go check it out. I put a link in the chat room. It is well worth the money. And especially if you use it on any kind of regular basis. And to the Ecamm guys, thank you so much for continuing to keep it up, because you guys have the best tool out there for recording Skype.
Without teledildonics.
Yeah, but you know, there's room to grow.
I got to say, when I get into these conversations in these big rooms or whatever, and we're talking about, you know, say content creation or whatever, and people are like, well, why do you guys pick Ecamm? You know, you can use Restream or StreamYard or whatever. And I'm like, bruh, first of all, the product is superior, but before we get to the product, as people that run that company, they are the best. Like, their customer support is incredible. They care so much. During the beginning of the pandemic, when nobody could get cam links because the scalpers were like ripping them suckers for $400 to $600 a piece, they basically figured out how to use all the camera manufacturers' USB to allow you to go USB instead of HDMI into your computer. And then Canon released the webcam utility, and then Sony really, Ecamm was already ahead of the game. Like, they actually wrote it into the software. Every time we needed some, Skype just kept being a punk during the pandemic. And so they wrote interview feature into Ecamm. So I can do this exact call that we're doing here on Zoom, but in Ecamm, I can send all of you guys a web link. You guys could all join my call. And at the end, because they make Skype Call Recorder, I would end up with 5 ISO tracks that I could then edit and publish as a show. Right? I mean, come on, son. Like, it's quite amazing. It is literally one of, and again, I can pull graphics and stuff up right now. While from my camera, I've always done goofy stuff, or like my Snapcam. That's all coming through Ecamm. So, you know, it's amazing. It's really hard to describe, and they're a great company. So even if you don't need the broadcasting side, the Skype Call Recorder is legit. Eyeglass is still good. I mean, definitely support them. They're amazing.
Yeah, and it's a one-time $40 one-time purchase if you have
it. Correct.
Yeah. So if Doc likes it and I like it, how can you go wrong?
Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Waiting on Cali. Covered.
Yeah. All right, Patrice, what do you have?
So I have.
Glenn says he loves you, Chuck. By the way, sorry, Patrice. I just told Glenn what you said, and Glenn said, "I love that guy."
Oh, thank you, Glenn. I love you too.
I have a free app that just literally was released. Has a very, very specific purpose. It's an iOS app called Overviewer, and it's kind of like one of those, you know, those document scanning cameras that you can buy for a really expensive amount of money, and it's literally just a webcam that points down. It's an app for that. This was something, I think the guy who wrote it is a teacher, Charlie Chapman. And he needed something. The problem was he was using Zoom and screen sharing from his iPhone to like show something that's on his desk. And the problem was that like the standard camera apps, all of them always have like a little bit of like UI Chrome around them, like camera controls and whatever. And he didn't want that. So he wrote a relatively simple, straightforward app and released it for free that just literally does nothing but show the camera. That's it. Very, very simple.
Yeah, overhead camera for Zoom. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's that's nothing, been like, it's nothing fancy.
For the last couple of days in our group.
Yeah, it's nothing super fancy, but for what it does, it is awesome and it's free. So why not use it?
You know what's funny, Patrice? The amount of dancing that people go through to get their Zooms to be better, it cracks me up because, like, why didn't use it? Because Zoom's actually...
It's not Zoom's fault. The problem is not Zoom. Zoom does actually pretty well. The problem is that there is no easy way to get, like, a completely clean camera out of iOS.
Out of where?
Out of iOS. Like, completely. Oh, like, there's wrong. No easy, absolutely simple way. Wrong.
Reincubate camo, period. Well, end of story.
Well, but that requires another app. Like, it's not something you can just do.
Yeah, but it's worth it. Ask Chuck. Yeah,
for sure. But I mean, if you're a teacher, you don't have the money for it. Like, it's a fairly simple thing. It should work with any other app. Like, literally, you can literally just feed it into whatever, Skype, Microsoft Teams, doesn't matter. He used Zoom, that's why I use that as an example. It just gives you a clean screen share or clean output on the actually, it just literally just gives you a clean camera on the phone, and then you can send that to whatever you want. Do a screen recording, for example.
Yeah, we're back to that whole discussion of, is it good enough for what you're doing? You know, do you need something pristine, or can you make it work?
Yeah, I said it's for free, you can't beat that.
Yeah, I saw that, Patrice. I hadn't. Mm-hmm. I saw the announcement of it. I hadn't looked at it, but that it looks very, very nice.
What's that? It's. I mean, I know. Like, coding wise, what's required is not much, but it solves a very, very particular purpose, and so why not? So there's that.
All right, that's cool, and I love the price.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
All right, Cal, what do you have?
So it's actually one that Doc put me onto. I've taken the leap with Parallels, because obviously we're getting to a point now where boot camp's going to be booted mm-hmm. in probably the next couple of years. So I took the leap with Parallels, and a feature that I was very impressed with. I have boot camp on my Mac. So I already have a Windows OS pre-configured, got all the applications on there, and I got everything I need on there. Great, fine. So my thinking was, I'd download Parallels and I'd have to make a new instance of Windows and configure it to how I wanted. But you boot it up and it says, do you want to read your boot camp partition? And it reads it and makes it a virtual machine on my desktop, which I thought was really, really good and really handy. So I didn't have to go through the rigmarole of, you know, finding all the applications or anything like that. I think it's £70 to start off with, then £40 a year after that. It's well worth it. It works really well. I've got an older MacBook and it seems to deal with it absolutely fine. So really impressed with it. I know it's probably old hat Parallels, but it's still got a lot of life in it and a lot of really handy features you probably don't know about. So, yeah.
Yep, Parallels is awesome. Okay, Doc, what do you have?
I just bought some new studio monitors, and this is what I bought. I bought KRK Classic 5 SBs. And what's really dope about these monitors is the SB is just their silver ones, which are kind of cool. The Classic 5 or the Gen 4 are really good. What's really dope about it, you get your standard balance XLR and TRS input. You can use RCA inputs. You have this volume thing, which is cool because, you know, sometimes on your external monitors for your computer, you will have a sight or something happens to your keyboard, whatever, you just accidentally blast it and you just kill yourself. So you can preset a volume limit here on the back. You have low frequency adjustment, just in case you have to put it close to the wall or further from the wall, you can adjust it. So you have a low frequency crossover and you have a high frequency crossover. And they're super awesome. They sound incredible. And so what I have them is on either side of here. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but because their studio monitors and their feedback stuff is set pretty right, nothing in my ear. The whole time
I'm listening to you guys out of the speakers and then talking on the Rode Pod mic. I got the noise floor set perfectly and I don't have to wear headphones, but I can hear everything you say and still do this because I got good studio monitors that know not to feed back the microphone. I mean, you could force it to, but it tries not to. And then so I'm able to do my interviews and the whole nine yards with just, you know, my monitor's turned on. Now I got distance between mine, so it's kind of good. Well, like Chuck has his in the back. If he tried that right now, it might feed back because they're aiming at the mic. But yeah, I mean, they sound incredible. Now here's the skinny. They're normally around $150 for the 5-inch each, you know, speakers, you know. But right now I scored them on sale for $119 from the Center of Guitars, and it was the best thing ever. I'm replacing a pair of Monitor Audiophile bookshelf speakers, and it was just kind of too expensive to just be sitting here listening to $2,000 bookshelf speakers on my Mac. But they're also just they're not really EQ'd or curved properly for sounds that come out of a computer. So they would really show off the MP3 flaws or the AAC flaws, whereas these studio monitors would be better. And they're better for me editing podcasts and videos because they're at the right flat profile, which is what you want when you're editing, but I can give them color if I want. So yeah, there's really worth it. If you're looking to upgrade, you got a smaller place, they come in the 3-inch. If you got a bigger place, they come in a 7-inch, a 8-inch, and a 10-inch. So yeah, I would say get some KRK, I call them K-Rockers, KRK studio monitors, and quite amazing.
Nice.
Jeff, we should mention where people can find the links, right?
We should. And Patrice, where would they be able to find these links?
I thought you would remember. Yeah, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Then navigate to the 8th of January 2021. And you will find all the links. Yep. And you will find all the links. And as always, I mean, Muller is not here today, but as always, don't ever click on a link of Muller Biker.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Yep.
He'll turn you into a grandfather. Yeah.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
That's so true. So that's
okay. So my cool thing is the Anker USB-C to Lightning cable. This right here, which I picked up for, I want to say it was like $10, $11. And I wanted to have a good USB-C to Lightning cable for, you know, for high-speed charging, but also a cable that was going to be able to handle data throughput. And that's exactly what this one does. The cable itself is definitely thicker than Apple's own cables. And it also has this reinforced, let's see if I can get that to focus, kind of, there we go, reinforced piece right here where the cable goes into the into the plug. And this thing is great, and it's super cheap. It was like $10 or $11.
I absolutely swear by all Anker stuff I've ever brought.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's, I got that really cable good too. I love it. It makes your iPhone charge faster too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I will have a really awesome pick from Anker in the future, but I'm not going to spoil it yet.
Okay. So now we all have something to look forward to. All right. The part that I forgot yesterday, but I'm remembering today. Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me over at macvoices.com. That's where we talk to lots of interesting people about lots of interesting tech things. And we also do a live show on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. That is on Facebook on the Mac Voices page and also on the Mac Voices channel on YouTube. So stop by if you're in the mood to see something live. Otherwise, those shows end up in the Mac Voices feed for the folks that might be asleep or working at those times. Thanks, guys. This was a lot of fun today. This really was.
It has been fun.
It cost me money, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well
that's on you.
Yeah, if it's not costing us money, it only means that we're not paying attention, right? Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show on Thursday and on the Mac Show on Friday. All the social media links and like everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com. And there is, well, hopefully an episode of Foodie Flashback coming out this weekend. I'm finally getting around to it. So foodieflashback.com.
Nice. Cal, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can get hold of us and everything we do at imnmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at imnmax. You can get hold of me in the Slack room. You can drop us an email at info@imnmax. I'm at O'Hara Callum on Twitter. If you've got any questions, need anything, want anything, except for anything that's got a cloth on it, you can reach out to us. I'm just going to keep hammering on it now.
Doc, where can people find you?
You can find me all over the internets at DOCROCK, and a lot of stuff happening right now on the YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/DocRock. If you are into maybe starting a YouTube channel or live streaming, I have a private Facebook group. And if you find me on one of the other socials, just message me and I'll send you an invite.
Awesome.
Send me an invite.
You said that?
I said that.
Okay. DocRock.live/group. And you're in there.
Okay.
Awesome. DocRock. What was that again?
DocRock.live. /group.
Okay.
Yeah, that rebranding thing I mentioned a couple months back is probably the dopest, like, branded redirector you can get. It's pretty amazing. I fell in love with it because Bitly's just decided out of the blue after many, many years, we're going to charge you an arm and a leg. And I would have paid it, but they didn't come nicely. They just came, no, here you go. Huh? Like, if you told me ahead of time, Bitly, I'd have been ready because I've been with you for 12 years. But they were just like, no, today is the day. Pay up, sucker. And I'm like, huh? Don't beat me.
Yeah, well, now I'm not going to use Bitly. So, there we go. Screw them.
Yeah, they picked on Doc. That's not going to work.
That doesn't fly. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places, The Big Show, The Mac Show, sometimes Mac Voices. And last night I did In Touch with iOS. And I do the rounds. I'm easy to find. Thanks to all of you for being here today and making this very easy for me, because you know, it's all about making it easy for me. And every one of you rocks. And thanks to everyone that participated live. Thanks to everyone that's going to listen or watch the recordings later. And Ewan, I hope that you're feeling better, and we will see everyone again next week.
Nicely done, Jeff.
And that's the show.
Good.
Well done, Jeff.
Nicely done.
Good show.
Nicely done.